The writer of Hebrews makes it clear that Jesus is of a new priesthood, the order of Melchizedek. Then, if that's the case, why was a new priesthood needed? Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning, and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I want to take a moment and welcome all of you who are listening to our podcast. If you've joined us here on the YouTube as well, thank you. If you haven't subscribed, be sure and do so, and let's get the word out. We're in Hebrews chapter 7, as you know, no doubt. We're going to be in verse 11 through 19, and the big question is why was there a need for a new priesthood? Now, if you notice, the writer of Hebrews making a strong case for Christ to these Christians who had a Jewish or Hebrew background, thus the name of the book, Hebrews. And so I love it because we get, as Gentiles, to not only see where they're coming from, but also the value of Christ for all of us. So here in verse 11, he begins to answer the question why there must be a new priesthood. Verse 11, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest would rise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So his first point is this, is perfection. If the Levitical priesthood could produce perfection, then there would not be any need for a new order. And obviously that is the issue, because the law had no ability to do that. For of the Levites, or the Levitical from the book of Leviticus, if that order of priesthood needed to be changed, then by what authority does the writer of Hebrews address that? Well, he reaches over into the Psalm 110 from David and appeals, just like he did earlier in the teaching concerning the Melchizedek priesthood. He showed the connection with Abraham. So he's going to show these Christians with a Jewish background, it's not Moses that they're connected to, it's Abraham they're connected to, which is great for us and all the nations of the world, because the promise was through Abraham. Abraham, through your seed shall all the families of the earth, families, nations, peoples, tribes, tongues, of the earth shall be blessed. And Paul tells us in Galatians 3 that that seed was none other than Jesus Christ. He did not say seeds, meaning many or plural, but rather in Galatians 3, he said the seed, meaning Jesus Christ. So we who are of faith in Christ are the children of Abraham. I just love saying that. And he's making the same point here. The writer of Hebrews is making the same point that Paul does and some of his epistles by reaching over to Psalm 110 and 4 and says, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So this is the word of the Lord, and he's not going to back away. That word relent, he's going to produce this. The simple fact that God provides a priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek, as we just stated there in Psalm 110, shows that there was a need for a different priesthood rather than with Aaron. You see, the Levitical priesthood, that's called the Levitical priesthood, of course, because it's mostly there in the book of Leviticus, but it also comes from the tribe of Levi, and of course the high priest came from the sons of Aaron. But under it, the people received the law from Moses. So that priesthood is associated with the law, but this priesthood is not. Melchizedek was before the law. Who's it associated with? It's associated with Abraham. And as we mentioned, that is important that God set this in order. And you're going to see that one promise, two covenants. We're in the better covenant. He promised in Jeremiah to his own people there'd be a better covenant. Now look at verse 12. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there's also a change of the law. So there could not be a changing of the priesthood without a changing of the law. God would not introduce a new priesthood if it wasn't necessary. It was of necessity. And the reason for it, he goes on to explain the necessity of these changes of priesthood, because there needed to be a priest that was forever of the order of Melchizedek. That's why it says in verse 13 and 14, "For he of whom these things were spoken belongs to another tribe, for which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which the tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood." So he says, okay, now let's make this clear. The reason there had to be a change in the order of priesthood, because Moses never gave the commandment, which God gave that commandment, but Moses never gave the commandment for any priest to come from any other tribe but Levi, or from the sons of Aaron for the high priest. But here, Jesus arose from Judah, of which Moses never said anything about being a priest. There's another tribe. So out of necessity, there had to be a change in order, because under the law, God strictly gave the command that from the family of Aaron, they would be the ones who would serve at the altar. That's the term for the high priest. So there are things spoken here concerning another tribe. That is the tribe of Judah. What is the significance of this? Well, since that was the promise that God made, it would come through the tribe of Judah, then the Levitical priesthood would not work. And God did not want the Levitical priesthood to be the answer. Why? Because the law could not bring forth any perfection. And so can you imagine the Hebrews getting this in their mind? Whoa, wait a minute. If God gave us the law and the Levitical priesthood, then what was the purpose of the law? And Paul tells us another place that it was to be a tutor that would bring us to Christ. Here he's going to tell us that the law did not bring about any kind of perfection. So in verse 15 through 17, we see that the Messiah, Jesus, had to come from a different priesthood. Look at verse 15. "And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." He says, now this priesthood is not according to the law that was a fleshly commandment. Jesus's priesthood is not based on the law. It's based on the declaration of God himself of the Melchizedek priesthood and of an endless life, that he would forever live. He would only die one time, because the Aaronic priesthood, or the priesthood that came from the Levitical order, they lived their lifetime and their span and their day, so to speak, were over. It was limited to their lifetime. So there had to be a priest that would not just continually having to go to the altar. It had to be done once and for all according to the power of endless life. It's interesting that in Jesus' crucifixion, it was the high priest and the elders who plotted together to kill him. And yet he was the order of endless life that would be raised from the dead. He became our high priest through the death, burial, and resurrection by coming to this earth and taking upon humanity, because as a high priest, he has to represent us humans. He's fully God, fully man. So there had to be a shift and a change to bring forth the needed high priest. So verse 18 and 19 tells us why the law was set aside in this area, or annulled in this area. Verse 18 says, "For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness." He said, on one hand, there is a change that had to take place because of weakness and unprofitableness. Verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God." So he's making a comparison here, because he says, for on one hand, there's the annulling or putting away of the commandment because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. Now, Paul tells us in Romans 8 that the law was weak through the flesh. Not that the law was useless. Now, it was useless concerning perfection. It's useless concerning dealing with the issue. The law is expert at showing us our sin problem, but it is useless and solution for our sin problem. That's good for us to remember that. So we don't throw the law out, but the writer of Hebrews saying there had to be a change for a priesthood because the law had an inability. Through sinful flesh, Paul said through the weakness of sinful flesh, the law could not produce what it needed to do. It never was intended to do that. It was used as a schoolmaster, Paul says, to lead us to Christ. Well, the Hebrews is kind of saying the same thing here when he says that there is a high priest that could provide perfection. So the law was good and it led to the standard. It tells us what God's standard is. If we don't have a standard of God, then we're going to come up with our own standard. That's what you see happening right now in our culture. You see people that are determining this is correct. Well, that's your truth and this is my truth. So we have two different standards. We who believe in God must know that there is one standard and God's law is that standard. But the law was never intended to cause perfection. The law did not give us a better hope. So there had to be a changing and a putting away of that priesthood. It's the same term that would be used of Jesus that when he appeared to put away sin. And so that had to be a shift and a change of that. Though the law provided us a standard, we needed something else because the law could not produce. That started off with the argument, why does there need to be a change of priesthood? Because of imperfection. There needed to be perfection. So what does it tell us here? He says, we now have a better hope that causes us to draw near. The law never did that. The high priest we have in Christ, we come boldly before the throne of grace. We have full acceptance with him. We're brought in to him. The veil has been rent. We come confidently. When the scripture says come boldly, it means confidently. Why? Because Jesus has gone ahead of us. As we've already learned in Hebrews, our soul is anchored in the presence that reaches behind the veil. Oh, I love it. Jesus, who is of the order, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek, whoever lives, making intercession for us. I'm glad that the writer of Hebrews wrote this to remind the Christians who have a Jewish background, because we get a peek into what they struggle with, but also the blessings for us to be reminded of who Christ is. I trust you're growing in Jesus, who is your high priest, as we walk through this today in the Word.